The first order of business is that we need to take a roll to determine who is present. The clerk, Mr. Peterson, will now take the roll.
Chair Joaquin?
Present.
Joaquin, present. Vice Chair Gomez?
Present.
Gomez, present. Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas?
Hertas just showed up.
Hertas, present. Welcome. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, present.
Anderson, present. Representative Becker-Finn?
Present.
Becker-Finn, present. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, present.
Fisher, present. Representative Green?
Present.
Green, present. Representative Hassan?
Present.
Hassan, present. Representative Herr? Representative Herr? Representative Marcourt? Representative Marcourt? Representative Mortensen?
Here.
Mortensen, present. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Torkelson?
Present.
Torkelson, present. Representative Herr? Representative Marcourt?
Present.
Marcourt, present. There's a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I want to note that all the committee documents for today have been sent to members and are on the committee page on the House website. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from February 24th. Representative Gomez, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have, Madam Chair. I'd like to move their approval, please.
Thank you. Does anyone have any question about the minutes? Seeing none, we'll move on to a vote. This is a voice vote, so members, please briefly unmute yourself when you vote. All those in favor of approving the February 24th minutes, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. The motion is approved and the minutes are adopted. And Representative Herr has now joined us. So before we start on our first bill, I just want to remind members, we added back into your packets the memo on the local option sales tax that we've gone over in committee before with some of the questions you may want to ask or some of the parameters we're looking at for local option sales tax. Mr. Swanson has also put together a great sheet that the cities have provided information on about the city levy and tax rate information. And he's put together a sheet kind of describing which each of the columns are as well that are also in your packet. So with that, members, we will move on to the first bill, and that is Representative Sundin's bill, House File 355. Can I get a motion to move House File 355 before the division?
Madam Chair, so moved.
Representative Gomez has moved House File 355 before the division. We have the bill before us now. Representative Sundin, to your bill. Representative Sundin, you just have to unmute.
I did once before, but okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 355 authorizes the City of Cloquet to collect a half-cent sales tax on all taxable goods and services within the city. 355 describes the collection of the revenues. It also gives a bonding authority for the city to move forward with their plans, and there's a termination on that as well. So rather than belabor you with all the details, I will say that the City of Cloquet has had a half-cent sales tax for the past number of years and utilized it quite well for services and within the city. When I say services, I mean road repairs, street maintenance, and recreational facilities within the city. And with me today, I have Councillor Carrie Kalaji that will give you some more details on the intentions of the City of Cloquet with their half-cent sales tax. I'll remind everyone that the present sales tax is expiring, so we're not doubling up on the taxpayers or the shoppers in the city of Cloquet. So with me, Carrie Kalaji.
Councilmember Kalaji, could you please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony?
My name is Carrie Kalaji, last name spelling K-O-L-O-D-G-E. Thank you to Representative Sundin. Madam Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Carrie Kalaji. I'm a city councilor in Cloquet. Here with me is City Administrator Tim Peterson as well. Thank you for allowing me the chance to address this committee on behalf of the city and our desire to seek sales tax funding for projects of regional significance. The city is seeking to fund two separate projects, the Pine Valley Regional Park and Cloquet Ice Arena restoration and repair. For the Pine Valley Regional Park project, we are seeking sales tax funds totaling $2,124,700 to repair and restore the ski jumps, replace the chalet, pave the parking lot, improve facility lighting, and expand and light the mountain bike and cross-country ski trails. For the Cloquet Ice Arena project, we are seeking sales tax funding totaling $6,025,500 to replace the ice plant and floor, replace the roof, improve facility lighting, restroom renovations to improve handicap accessibility, and several other small improvements. So combined, the City of Cloquet is requesting a 0.5% sales tax for an estimated 10 years to fund the $8,150,200 in projects. As I will explain, as far as regional significance, each of these projects provides substantial regional support and impact to northern Minnesota. I'll start with the first project, Pine Valley Park. Pine Valley Park is a city-owned recreation area recognized both locally and regionally as a multi-purpose outdoor recreation and sporting area. Created in 1961, Pine Valley Park has four ski jumps from 5 meters to 45 meters in height, Nordic skiing with a 5.5K competition level course, 5 miles of single-track mountain biking, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, trail running, and hiking. Pine Valley Park also facilitates numerous hosted events, with the chalet being a focal point for these events in both winter and summer. Multiple sporting events are held at Pine Valley Park, many of these during the winter season. The Cloquet Nordic Ski Club's family outings, which include cross-country skiing and ski jumping, are held each Sunday and are attended by over 100 children and their families. Pine Valley Park's 45-meter ski jump is one of only two such ski jumps located in northern Minnesota. The Cloquet Nordic Ski Club sponsors jumping and Nordic events all ski season, which brings in participants from as far away as Chicago. Recreational cross-country skiers come from around the area and around the state to ski at this facility due to its competitive course and excellent grooming. Pine Valley Park has produced two Olympians, Mike Randall and Patrice Jankowski, as well as several individual state ski champions and numerous state ski team champions, championships. The next project is the Cloquet Ice Arena Restoration and Repair Project. As some background, in 2018, the City of Cloquet sponsored an ice arena study to determine the long-term viability of this regional hockey facility, which was originally constructed in 1996. The study identifies numerous repairs and upgrades needed to ensure continued safe use of this facility into the future. This regional facility is used 11 months out of the year for hockey and skating. It is home to the Minnesota Wilderness hockey team, one of 20 North American Hockey League Tier 2 junior hockey teams. The Wilderness play 36 games per season, averaging over 46,000 fans in attendance. In an economic impact study conducted by the Labovitz School of Business and Economics at UMD, it was estimated that Carlton County sees $2.4 million in additional spending in this community due to the Wilderness Organization being located here. The Wilderness Organization is also credited with the creation of 29 new jobs, both directly and indirectly. half through operational spending and the other half from visitor spending in the areas of leisure and hospitality. The Cloquet Ice Arena is also home to the Cloquet Amateur Hockey Association, with over 300 families participating in youth hockey from our region. The association hosts hockey tournaments an average of 20 weekends per year, with at least 46 teams traveling from outside the Carleton County area to participate. The Cloquet Ice Arena has also produced two Olympians, Corey Millen and Jamie Langerbrunner. Jamie Langerbrunner was a captain of the 2010 U.S. Olympic hockey team. There have been two Stanley Cup winners and several professional hockey players that played their youth hockey in this arena. So in summary, the two projects I've discussed will benefit residents and businesses in the city of Cloquet as well as the surrounding area. These facilities attract visitors and competitors from a wide area. There is truly a regional draw to both Pine Valley Park and the Cloquet Ice Arena. Funding for these projects cannot come from local property taxes, as the burden would be too great. For the reasons I have mentioned, the community and city council support the authority to impose a general local sales tax of 0.5% for an estimated period of 10 years to assist in funding these two projects. As a final note, these facilities have been absolutely packed with users seeking outdoor activities during the COVID pandemic. It is hard to overstate the value of these facilities bring to our residents and those who visit Cloquet from outside the area. Thank you for allowing me to explain why these facilities are so important to our city and our region. It is our goal to upgrade them for current users and preserve them for future generations. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you, Councilmember Kalaji. Representative Sundin, I think you have another testifier as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have City Administrator Tim Peterson on tap to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Then we'll just go to member questions. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Sundin or Councilmember Kalaji? Give it one more second.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hertas.
Representative Sundin, what Minnesota lake is behind you there?
Representative Sundin.
Chair Joachim and Representative, that is actually Lake Superior, I think.
All right, members, any other questions? Representative Sundin, do you have any closing comments?
Just a thank you to Councilman Kalaji, and I would invite anybody from around the state to come visit that Pine Valley Recreation Area. It's a beautiful site. My family has spent many hours in the hockey rinks and out on the ski jumps as well in the past. So please come see what the levy authority can do for your committee or your community as it has done for mine.
Thank you, Representative Sundin. Representative Gomez renews her motion that House File 355 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The bill's been laid over. Next up, we have Representative Igo here with House File 693. Can I get a motion to move House File 693 before the division?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Herr moves House File 693 before the division. And we have an author's amendment, I believe, labeled A21. Can I get a motion to move A21 so we can get the bill in the shape that the author would like?
So moved, Madam Chair. This is Representative Herr.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Representative Herr moves House A21 amendment as well. Members, any questions? Well, actually, I'll have Representative Igo. Do you want to just briefly describe the amendment, and then we'll see if people have questions?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment would just get the bill in the shape that the City of Grand Rapids has requested that we originally had it in. So essentially, it's changing the $10.9 million number to a $5.9 million number and puts in a line there that puts a little bit more of a timeline on the sunset. And that really is the shape of the amendment itself.
Thank you,
we just get the bill in the shape that the city of Grand Rapids likes, then that'd be incredibly helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igon. Welcome to the Property Tax Committee. Members, do I have any questions on the A21 amendment? Seeing none, members, please unmute yourself. This will be a voice vote. All those in favor of the A21 amendment, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We have the bill before us. Representative Igo, why don't you go ahead and present your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And kind of following up from the previous, we're talking about a hockey arena again. So this bill would be to help pay for the Grand Rapids IRA Civic Center, which is a staple of the Grand Rapids community. Apart from hosting our hockey programs, it also is a prime attraction for weddings, boat shows. It's an event center. It's been a staple of Grand Rapids for a long time. So I have two testifiers with me today. I have our city administrator, Tom Pagel, and then our council member, Rick Blake. They're going to give a little bit of a presentation on more to what this project is. But thank you again for having me here, and I'll let them take it away.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Mr. Pagel, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tom Pagel. I am the city administrator for the city of Grand Rapids. Today, we also have council member Rick Blake with us to also participate in the presentation. Chair,
did you want to go first, or do you want to have the council member go first?
We have three slides. I'll take the first slide. Council member Blake will take the second, and then I'll close on the third.
I don't believe we have the slides with us. I will ask Mr. Okay. Peterson or Mr. or Mr. Justin.
That's okay, Chair. Madam Chair.
Okay. Mr. Justin, do we want to let him share his screen, or should we just go ahead and have him?
He can share his screen. The slides were also sent to members, so either of those works.
Okay. Whatever you would like to do, Mr. Pagel.
Well, just verbal, if you're okay with that, Madam Chair.
Sounds good.
Okay. So as Representative Igo has mentioned, the IRA Civic Center really serves as a regional facility, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a little highlight on the improvements. We originally built this facility in 1962, so we are going to be replacing the truss and roof system on the west venue. We're going to be replacing the refrigeration system for the ice making at the West facility that was constructed in 1968. We're going to be doing a major improvement on ADA within the building, including a new elevator. And then we'll be replacing the HVAC systems that were original from 1962 and 68. Councilmember Blake.
Councilmember Blake, go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, please, and proceed. Councilmember Blake, you'll have to unmute.
Sorry, thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I want to talk about the regional impact and the public safety aspects of the project. Independent School District 318 is a major tenant with over 60% non-city students. The Grand Rapids Amateur Hockey Association is a major tenant with almost 65% of their members non-city residents. The facility is a countywide emergency shelter, and it also serves as the evacuation facility for the nearby high school. The University of Minnesota estimates that 55% of the sales tax would be generated by non-residents. And now back to City Administrator Pagel to address funding.
Before we do that, Councilmember Blake, can you just please state your name for the record?
Council, I'm Rick Blake and City Councilor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pagel, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The funding for the project, total project cost is just a little bit under $11 million. I want to thank the representatives here today for providing state bonding this past fall in the amount of $5 million. So the city is seeking authority to collect local sales tax at the level of $5,980,000. We are looking for authority to impose a 0.5% sales tax, which was just in the requested amendment, and up to 7 years, whichever comes first. So with that, Madam Chair, we would be open for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pago. Members, do we have any questions? Members are very quiet today. I'll ask a quick question. Did I hear you correctly to say that you did get money in the bonding bill from this last year?
We did.
Mr. Pago? Okay.
Madam Chair, we did. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, any questions? With that, not seeing any questions, Representative Igo, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to close and say thank you again for the committee and to yourself for letting this bill be heard today for my hometown of Grand Rapids and the IRA Civic Center.
Thank you, Representative Igo. With that, Representative Hur renews her motion that House File 693 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The bill's laid over. Next, we have House File 514, also from Representative Igo. Can I get a motion to move House File 514 before the division?
So moved, Madam Chair.
I Representative Marquardt, I heard first, so he beat you to it. I'm sorry, Representative Hurtas.
Representative Hurtas can have this one. I'll take the next one.
Okay. Representative Hurtas?
Well, thank you for yielding, Representative Marquardt. I will move House File 514 for be laid over for possible inclusion in division.
Representative Hurtas moves 514 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Igo, why don't you go ahead and explain your project?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so House File 514 would be also instituting another local option sales tax. This is for the Itasca County, my home county. The county is in the process of building a new jail that has been part of their plan due to the Department of Corrections. So this jail is going to be at the cost of $75 million. This optional sales tax would help pay for that and help our community build this jail that is essentially important. With me today is County Commissioner Terry Snyder, and I will let him take over and kind of talk about the details more as he's been kind of the lead on this project back in my county.
Commissioner Snyder, why don't you go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Terry Snyder, County Commissioner with Itasca County. Last name is S-N-Y-D-E-R.
Go ahead with your presentation.
Madam Chair, members, and Representative Igo, thank you for your valuable time this afternoon. As aforementioned, the state of Minnesota, the Department of Corrections, has sunset our current jail facility, necessitating a new build. Originally, our jail was built in 1981. With a small annex addition in 1997, which created a 110-bed facility, which is now deemed obsolete. We've never brought a sales option to the legislature to this point, so Itasca County does not have a sales tax at this time. Nearly 40% of our population, which is 45,000, over the county is 62 years of age or older, resulting in a large portion of our residents that are on fixed incomes and rely on that income. Approximately 50% of our households are dual income households, but the fact is that half of those make $50,000 annually or less. So that puts us in the 14% poverty rate, which is quite high in comparison to across the state. Itasca County is the third largest geographically. 65% of our land is in public ownership, and that would be state, federal, county tax forfeit, and some others. But what it does is it dilutes and limits our property tax ability as far as capacity and base, and it puts an enormous burden on the 45,000 residents that are in our county. So I'll take you back to our sunset letter that the county received in 2018, which basically indicated that the Department of Corrections no longer would allow the use of this jail beyond a point, which is 2021. And so immediately the county board did act and created a task force. And the goal behind that was to, number one, investigate the issue and see what our options potentially could be, but also to be transparent with our public in what the process would be. So the task force met for approximately 14, 15 months and came back to the county board with findings and recommendations. And that was to build a new facility. They'd met numerous times with the Department of Corrections and found it it just wasn't able to use the current facility because of the way it was built in 1981 to meet the needs of programming and space needs for new facilities. In addition, they'd indicated that there should be upgrades to the safety of the courthouse in terms of just general safety as far as one entrance and those types of things. And also we lacked safety for our court personnel, our judicial. So the county board at that point then decided that we would take this to our constituents and your constituents. So we scheduled 35 town hall meetings across the entire county from every corner to every corner. We did that between late fall of 2020 until March of 2021 when COVID shut most of us down. What we learned in those town hall meetings, and we met with thousands at this point, was that, of course, they weren't happy with having to build a new facility or fund a new facility, but that it was necessary because it did create public safety, and they were, it's very important in our communities. The second piece that we discussed, and probably equally as important, is how is this funded? And so the options were given to our public at these meetings that obviously it would be a residential or commercial tax, depending on what you were an owner of, or that we would seek a seek legislative authority to impose a 1% sales tax across the county for the duration to pay off the indebtedness. During the personal town hall meetings, it was overwhelming that the citizens wanted a sales tax. So the county board took that into account and additionally created a survey that was sent out publicly, social media, in person, many, many different ways, with results coming back that 75% through the public survey, not in person, but public survey, also wanted the option to pay for the jail through a 1% sales tax versus being placed on property or commercial tax. So Itasca County really is no different than most of the counties in northern Minnesota in the fact that, you know, we're kind of islands of our own. So when you look at what really caused our problem was we've grown out of our old jail and in many instances had to house prisoners to other counties. And that was an extreme expense and it was costly in terms of the transportation as well. In fact, in any one given day, on average, we had 37 inmates in other counties. This is true with all of our surrounding counties, St. Louis, Kuching, and Crow Wing to the west of us, and Beltrami. Much of northern Minnesota lacks the adequate inmate beds, bed space, particularly with female residents. The new facility that we're proposing would address these needs for ourselves and also regionally. So what we presented last year that we didn't have that we now have this year, and it's included in members' packet, is that we received letters of support from St. Louis County, Beltrami County, and Kuching County sheriffs indicating that, you know, they still have needs for housing prisoners out of county and that they would utilize Itasca County for that need. In addition, the Department of Corrections has also indicated that they're very interested in long-term bed lease from our facility for their needs as well. And I think that it brings a good point is that not only are we helping our partners and our neighbors regionally, next to us regionally, and alleviating a potential problem they may have in overcrowding, but it also creates a revenue source. So the county board has committed in that any revenue that is generated as a result of beds, because we have built larger than what our needs are at this point, would be used to buy down the liability or the bond that we have. So in addition to the 1% sales tax, we have the length, and we really think it's going to be closer to 21, 22 years than what's indicated. We would also use these alternate revenue sources to help buy that down and shorten the length. So in addition to the jail, and I will close with this, is that, you know, it provides us an opportunity that we've never had in the past in providing additional programming, including culturally sensitive programming and training. It'll be incorporated into the new facility and should, and we hope, would improve inmate outcomes and reduce recidivism. In addition, the State Department of Corrections has provided a letter of support that they are very willing to expand our cognitive skills building and domestic violence programming within our inmate population. So the again, we're in the process. It's a project in motion. We have not went to bids, but we are looking at no greater than $75 million, and we're in the process now of whittling that down. So it would be certainly something less than that. And part of the bill indicated 30 years. And as I previously stated, we're hoping that that will be somewhere around the 21, 22 years. So I will close with that and stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Snyder. Members, do we have any questions for Commissioner Snyder or Representative Igo? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Snyder, it's quite a project that you are contemplating here. And just have to ask you if you've established any kind of a daily rate yet for housing prisoners, and do you have assurances from your neighboring counties that they would take so many beds per day to give you some assurances as far as cash flowing this type of a facility you're looking at building?
Commissioner Snyder.
Thank you, Representative. That's a great question. And there's some variables that come into play with that. So again, it depends on the prisoner need. But on average, those daily rates run between $45 and $65 a day. And that would, again, be predetermined if you're male or female, and then if there are any extra conditions that would have to go with this prisoner.
Representative Anderson, any follow-up?
Yeah, Madam Chair, again, thank you. I've been involved in a little bit of some jail planning back in my home counties, and you know, operating jails is expensive. And again, you didn't mention about if you have anything more than just a verbal agreement from your neighboring counties, because if you're going to be counting on income coming in from prisoners from other counties, you need to kind of, I think, nail that down to get some solid assurances of how many beds a day that they would guarantee use. But if you can't get that, I understand that, but I would advise trying to get some of those numbers nailed down as you proceed with this. Thank you.
Commissioner Snyder, any response?
Thank you, Representative. That's a great point. And we are in the process right now of working on those agreements. As it stands, it's not, the extra revenue is not part of the budget, because we don't have signatures on papers that actually commit, but we are in the process of that right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Anderson, any other follow-up? Okay. Members, any other questions for Representative Igo or Commissioner Anderson, or Commissioner Snyder, sorry. Members, seeing none, Representative Igo, would you like to have some final comments?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Commissioner Snyder for being here today and all the work that the county has done. As he kind of said in his testimony, the county's done a very good job of reaching out to all of the constituents of Itasca County to hear what their concerns are for making this jail happen, to have to increase our public safety for our county and keep us all safe in a good way. I also want to thank you, Madam Chair, and the members of the committee for hearing this bill today, and thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Representative Hertaz renews his motion that House File 514 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report, and the bill is laid over. Next bill on the agenda we have is House File 1345 from Representative Bonner. Can I get a motion to move House File 1345 before the division?
Madam Chair, I will move the bill.
So thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves House File 1345 before the division. We now have the bill before us. Representative Bonner, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Maple Grove is a thriving community with a plethora of things going for it, including a community center that serves as the go-to place for seniors and pickleball, aqua aerobics, and a splash down the Grove Cove water slide, from basketball to birthday parties, banquets to bustling conferences, and sports tournaments to weddings. While the area population has grown by a robust 28% in the past 25 years since the community center opened, its visitors have become as diverse as the wide array of people it serves, from toddlers to teens to sports enthusiasts and seniors. As the services of Maple Grove Community Center have grown, so has the communities it serves. Increasingly, we see that the Maple Grove Community Center is becoming a gathering space for 650,000 visitors annually from around the region. The ever-growing needs of the surrounding community have fueled the need to expand and to renovate to meet the vision of the future. Members, the ask in the bill before the committee today is permission to do a 0.5% local option sales tax based on voter approval realized over 20 years or when the need has been met to cover the $90 million bond plus relevant bond fees. The expansion and renovation will include critical cost-saving measures to install energy-efficient systems while renovating existing banquet and meeting space and expanding aquatic and athletic spaces. It will serve the needs of an age-friendly Maple Grove through greater services to our seniors and meet citizens where they are by expanding access to food and housing supports for the community. The changing needs of our community and our region are all met by this microcosm of diverse community. Members, we thank you for your time and your consideration today, and I ask for your support of House File 1345. With that, Madam Chair, I have two distinguished guests with me today, Mayor Mark Stephenson and City Administrator Heidi Nelson, to speak to the bill.
Mayor Stephenson, please welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Uecham. I'm Mark Stephenson, the Mayor of Maple Grove, and thank you, Representative Bonner, for presenting our bill here today. And I want to thank all the representatives for their time as well. This obviously is our city's local option sales tax request for the expansion and renovation of the Maple Grove Community Center. The Community Center opened to the public in 1997. Since that time, the population in the Northwest Metro has grown by over 28,000 people, or 28%, to over 230,000 people. And the diversity of Maple Grove has expanded dramatically and has grown by over 13% during that period. The Maple Grove Community Center, as noted by Representative Bonner, serves over 650,000 people a year to our many attractions, including seniors programs, a teen center, farmers market, banquet and meeting rooms, aquatic facilities, ice arenas, and a skate park. The location of the community center in the heart of the Northwest Minneapolis Regional Commercial Trade Area makes it the center for a regional host for a series of meetings, expos, tournaments that really are statewide type events. The expansion and renovation project will expand offerings in many areas, and they include the following. The current ice arena hosts about 230 games, 40 clinics, and 16 tournament events annually. This facility serves athletes throughout the metro area and outstate Minnesota. The addition of a third sheet of ice would greatly increase the number of events hosted. The current banquet facility hosts 10 small business conferences and 30 weddings annually, serving patrons throughout the metro and the state. Again, expansion of these facilities will fill a gap in the Northwest Metro region for event venues of this type and bring numerous visitors to the community and local businesses. current event spaces, and we host about 12 expos of various types that attract many vendors and visitors from outside the city. Expansion of the event space would also allow for growth in that industry. Current aquatics facilities host daily field trips during the summer, of which 80% are outside of Maple Grove. In addition, 60% of the walk-in swimmers come from outside the city. Expansion of this facility provides for growth to serve a larger number of residents and visitors from the Northwest region. The community center is a host of many senior programs and drop-in activities. 34% of our senior patrons come from outside the community, and the demographic growth in this area is very significant in our community. And an expansion of these facilities would build on the strong senior patronage we already have. The proposed project also includes partnership with veteran services and nonprofit agencies that are intended to be housed in the facility that would provide food, housing, and social services to the community. We realize that it's important for the community to understand our local levy information, which has been provided to the community in advance of the hearing today. The pursuit of this local sales tax option is in response to the overburden of this regional facility to our local taxpayers. Without the local sales tax option, the debt service requirement would require a 14.5% increase to the city residents, to our levy. Maple Grove taxpayers will be covering the operating expenses. That's the plan. The local option sales tax allows the city to broaden the base of who pays for this facility expansion, and that will directly reflect the actual regional use. We greatly appreciate your time, and I will turn it over to Ms. Nelson for any additional comments that she might have.
Before that, I want to note that there was a late letter arriving of support from the North Metro Mayors that Mr. Justin sent out. With that, Ms. Nelson, welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Joachim and members of the committee. My name is Heidi Nelson, and I serve as Maple Grove City Administrator. Is my audio kind of crackly?
Just a little bit of an echo, but maybe Mr. Mayor Stephenson, there you go. You now try that again.
Okay, Ms. Nelson. All right. Well, thank you again for your time today. I just want to kind of provide a bit further comment on some of the mayor's comments about our growth up here in the Northwest Metro, as well as our levy. As we noted, we have experienced over about 28% population growth in Maple Grove. And looking at our historical levy data, our levy on average over that same period of time has grown by about 4.65%. So we are seeing, tremendous growth in our population, and we're having to keep up with that delivery of service by increases to our levy. Our five-year history of levy and tax rate has been more favorable to the taxpayer due to valuation growth and strong new construction up in the Northwest Metro. As noted by the mayor, the request for the local option sales tax is due to the overburden of the cost of the expansion of this regional facility. And without the local option sales tax, we would it would require that 14.5% increase in our levy for the debt service. As noted, that additional operating cost that the taxpayer will bear would require an additional 4.5% increase in the levy. So as proposed, we're asking for a half cent for 20 years to cover the capital costs of this facility expansion renovation, and we believe it more accurately spreads payment for the facility to its users, which includes those who travel to shop in and visit Maple Grove. We appreciate your time today. We also have Chuck Stifter, our Director of Parks and Recreation, on the call to respond to any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Ms. Nelson. Members, do we have any questions for Ms. Nelson, Mayor Stephenson, or Representative Bonner? Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Nelson, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
I resided in Maple Grove, lived in one of the developments that I built out there. When we built the original community center, and I don't recall that we used this type of instrument for financing the project. I'm a little concerned about our suburban districts adding sales tax as a local option. I'm not aware of any suburban areas in the metro area that are able to do that. Well, they're able to do it, but they haven't asked for it. And Ms. Nelson or Mayor Stephenson, what is the tax capacity now in Maple Grove? I've witnessed and have contributed to the growth of Maple Grove and building a lot of homes there. I'm really questioning whether this is a want or a need.
Ms. Nelson or Mayor? Yeah. Ms. Nelson, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Joachim, Representative Hertas. So our tax, our valuation, or are you talking about our tax rates?
Representative Hertas?
I'm talking about your total tax capacity that you have the ability to apply your levy to.
Sure.
Ms. Nelson. So
yes, I'm sorry, Chair Joachim, Representative Hertas. Our total valuation that we can apply levy to is just around $10 billion. So we, you know, Maple Grove, large growing community with good commercial industrial tax base. And our current tax rate sits at that 31.847%.
Representative Hertas, follow up.
Thank you for that information. You know, I see a lot of, we see, not just I, but we as a committee see a lot of these local option sales tax provisions coming before us. Some of them are truly infrastructure needs, and I don't intend to debate whether expansion of a community center is a need or not, or additional sheets of ice. I recall also when we built a sheet of ice when I resided in Brooklyn Park. We did bonding to do that, and the associations played a heavy part in financing as a user fee some of these activities. But what we're really seeing a trend here, and one of my concerns about the expansion of WASC provisions, is that as communities grow and get bigger and bigger, they become magnets for people to do their commerce and shopping, and it's nice to add these extra little shiny objects that again attracts even more people and more sales tax revenue, business revenue growing into these areas, oftentimes at the expense of the surrounding communities that don't have as much. So I've been supportive of local option sales taxes for areas of low tax capacity and inability to levy the taxes locally, using the sales tax for that reason. But I just wanted to express these concerns. I don't think it's a trend that we should be supporting as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Any comments, Representative Bonner or Mayor Stephenson or Ms. Nelson?
Madam Chair, if I may. Thank you, Representative Hertas, for that comment. And certainly I appreciate and understand your concerns. And as you know, Maple Grove has traditionally been very careful and thoughtful in its planning process and its budgeting as well. So I have to be upfront that this is quite the extraordinary time to come before you and ask this, because we have always been very thoughtful about how we do that and how we balance the needs and desires of our taxpayers. And I want to remind you that this is an option to put before the voters to ask if they would like to participate in this. You know, other suburban areas have actually used this as an instrument to help cover the costs and reduce the burden to local taxpayers in other suburban cities. Bloomington, I believe Plymouth has a request. There's a few others that have used this to really help spread out the cost of this investment to the folks who are actually using the facility. I think we've reached a place, including Excelsior, and I believe Rogers, I'm sorry, may also be among those. You know, really, this is an ability for us to spread out that cost, be fair to our taxpayers. And with the current usage of the facility, we're almost at a tipping point now where about 50% of the services and the visitors to that facility are actually coming from outside of Maple Grove. So it seems a reasonable and thoughtful way to try and help fund that facility.
And Representative Hertas, follow up, otherwise I'll go to Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, and I appreciate that, Representative Bonner, and I know that you're doing your best to represent your community. I'll just kind of close with the idea that, you know, I live out that way. I live on that side of town. I resided in Maple Grove for a long time. I decided to move a little further out, but I have choices. I'm equidistant to driving to the shopping complexes of Maple Grove. I can also go to Delano. I can also go to Buffalo. I can also go to Rogers. And from my perspective, if I have to pay another half cent sales tax for everything that I tend to purchase and tend to gravitate to the east towards Maple Grove, I'll probably shop somewhere else. But thank you.
I'm Representative Marquardt.
So thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I do think probably in the suburbs it is a little more difficult to maybe show a regional impact. But the fact that the metro mayors have a letter of support here, I think really does signify that it does have a regional impact in this situation. And as Representative Bonner and Representative Hertaus has mentioned, I mean, there are other suburbs who do have local option sales taxes, you know, and so this certainly isn't the first one, but just to say, I do think the fact that these mayors in the area are coming together and saying, hey, this is important for the area, does indicate there's certainly some good regional significance to this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Any other questions, members? With that, Representative Bonner, final word.
Yes, thank you for that. I certainly appreciate the comments from Representative Hertaus, and I'd like to say that I think and I hope that we are very proud of the amenities that we have in Maple Grove, the shopping areas, the restaurants, and the local flavor. So certainly I hope that you will continue to come back for that, Representative Hertaus. With that, certainly we are grateful for your time today and we look forward to your recommendations, but certainly we are also grateful to the North Metro mayors and for our local communities for supporting this measure and giving us the opportunity to really help be thoughtful and responsible to our taxpayers and also make sure that we can ensure that we have facilities that can meet the needs of our surrounding communities and region for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. With that, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 1345 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report, and the bill's laid over. The next bill we have on our agenda is House File 1458 from Representative Burkle. Can I get a motion to move House File 1340? Sorry, can I get a motion to move House File 1458 before the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson moves that House File 1458 be before the division. We now have the bill before us. Representative Burkle, welcome to the Property Tax Committee and proceed with your comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. Got a local sales tax option, House File 1458 here for a child care center in Warren, Minnesota, proposing a 0.5% sales tax to build a 10,000 square foot facility about 110 children up in northwestern Minnesota. I have one testifier to keep things moving along. I see it's almost 4 o'clock. I'll turn it over to City Administrator Shannon Mortensen, and I'll let her give you more details.
Ms. Mortensen, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Shannon Mortensen, City Administrator for the City of Warren. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, and thank you, Representative Burkle, for introducing this legislation, House File 1458. Warren is proposing a 0.5-cent sales tax to finance building a 10,000 square foot child care center, and the projected sales tax revenue will pay the debt service on a $1.6 million bond. Warren is a town of 1,600 people in the northwest corner of the state. We are located 30 miles from Thief River Falls, Crookston, and Grand Forks, North Dakota. The city has embraced being a bedroom community with the robust employment options that have been available in northwest Minnesota. 6 years ago, a child care center opened to provide child care to new residents of the community. This year's kindergarten class is 50 children. Last year, there was 29 high school graduates. And the projected census from birth to 4 years old for the school district is 70 children each year. So we know that having a child care center works for growing a community and providing a workforce. Being a bedroom community, Warren provides 464 workers to the areas surrounding the city. That's according to a housing study that was done in 2018. So that means one quarter of our residents drive to Thief River Falls, Crookston, or Grand Forks for work. 50% of the families at the childcare center commute a distance of 30 miles or greater. And with the DigiKey expansion happening in Thief River Falls, it will provide 1,000 additional jobs to the region. Warren needs to gear up to help provide that workforce that will be needed. Childcare is the first thing that young couples look at when determining employment. Fall 2019, a survey by First Children's Finance showed there are 187 slots to be filled within the 20-mile radius of Warren. With the center and home childcare in Warren, we're only filling 76 slots. People are going to start leaving the region if they cannot find childcare. Deed's profile in Northwest Minnesota shows a labor shortage for the upcoming decade. We're at a point of crisis to provide childcare to help provide a workforce to the area. That crisis has been highlighted in the newest childcare report by the Center for Rural Policy and Development, in which the Northwest region, the region we live in, has the largest need in the state for childcare capacity. Warren itself is a micro-regional community. We have a bustling retail district and a robust housing market. There are 784 people employed in Warren, and 66 people commute into the city. At the Child Care Center, 33% of the families commute to Warren to work. Warren serves a regional significance, not only in providing a workforce, but having jobs people commute to. A Child Care Center that is double in size would be a huge boost to the region to help fill positions. The community right now is rallying around child care. The school district has teachers that may resign due to no open infant slots. The hospital had 11 employees needing infant care. The nursing home has had trouble filling key management positions due to no available child care. These are Warren stories, but employers around the region tell a similar story. We had a town hall held on child care, and it had 70 people that attended. That might seem like a small number, but First Children's Finance said it was the second largest attended event they had hosted, and the first was in Winona County. So Warren wants to build a large center that will provide consistency and utilize economies of scale. Childcare and a new center are a hot topic, and Warren leaders have worked together to create a solution. Community leaders have determined local sales tax is the revenue stream that is needed to provide investment for our region. Thank you, Madam Chair and community members and Representative Burkle for listening to our story this afternoon and for any support moving this legislation forward.
Thank you, Ms. Martinson. Members, do we have any questions for Ms. Martinson or Representative Burkle? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would just say to the folks at Warren, congratulations. You seem to be having a bustling community up there, a lot of jobs and a lot of things depending on getting this childcare center up and running. So I just say hats off to you for addressing the situation, the problem, and good luck with the as you move forward with this and hope you get it done. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Any other comments, members? Oh, more hands. Representative Martinson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Martinson, you went on mute there for a sec.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Mrs. Martinson for having the courage to come up front in front of this committee with the last name Martinson. I think that take some courage.
Thank you, Representative Martinson. Members, any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Burkle, do you have any final comments?
No, I think everything's been said that needs to be thanks. Thanks for hearing this bill. I think you can see that this is a real great solution for Warren and for the region. We're lucky enough in Northwest Minnesota to have a lot of great manufacturers providing jobs. And you heard her talk about the issues we've got with labor shortages. And this child care solution they've come up with is a smart one, and I hope everyone supports it.
Thank you, Representative Burkle, and I want folks to know everyone is welcome in committees. So Representative Anderson renews his motion that House File 1458 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. Members, 1458 has been laid over. And now we have our final bill for the day. The final bill on the agenda is House File 1304 from Representative Rasmussen. Can I get a motion to move House File 1304 before the division?
I will so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves House File 1304 before the division. And I see that we have an amendment labeled A1. Representative Rasmussen, would you like to describe your amendment briefly?
I will move it, Madam Chair.
Representative Marquardt moves the amendment.
I'll move the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Rasmussen, do you want to explain it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the author's amendment simply removes one project from Fergus Falls's proposal. Last year, Fergus Falls presented three projects to this committee, but the City Council has decided to prioritize the two projects that we'll be discussing today.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen, and thank you, Representative Marquardt, for moving the amendment. Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, please unmute yourself. And this will be a voice vote. Representative Rasmussen moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. It's been a long day. Fourth committee, who would have thought? Representative Rasmussen, would you like to go ahead and start your testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I agree it has been a long day. And I really appreciate having the opportunity today to talk about House File 1304. As this committee knows, the appropriate use of local option sales tax can help cities, particularly in greater Minnesota, grow and thrive. Among the difficulties that small cities face is having good-paying jobs and community assets that make living in them vibrant and exciting. This proposal can provide both. Fergus Falls' approach to regional community enhancements has been through active and extensive engagement with its citizens. The projects you are hearing today have been vetted locally for years before making it into legislation. Alternative funding options have been considered, and a review of regional assets has taken place. Two senior City Council members are going to follow me to briefly discuss the two proposals we hope to put before the voters with your support of this legislation. After hearing from them, I believe you will be impressed with the efforts the city has taken to bring this legislation forward and the value they will bring to our region if approved. I'll first have Council Member Justin Arneson speak, and he will be followed by Council Member Tom Roofer. There is a one-page description of the projects in your committee file if you want to use that as a guide. When we conclude, we would be happy to answer any questions that the chair or committee members have. Thank you again for giving us this hearing, and we would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. Which council member would like to go first?
I believe we have Council Member Justin Arneson.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. Council Member Arneson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Justin Arneson, Fergus Falls City Council. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee for your time this afternoon. Just want to give you a brief history. There's a working group back in early 2000 that started a pool discussion and conversation within our community and completed a feasibility study. And in 2009, 2010, that fizzled out. About 5 years ago, another committee, group of volunteers and community members that were passionate around this, created another working group. We partnered with the local YMCA and our Fergus Falls High School and diving and swimming to get those engagements with those organizations and a process to move forward. We approached the City Council and we created a new feasibility study. The other one was old and outdated. And so we partnered with US Aquatics to help guide us through that process. The main goal of the feasibility study was to engage our local residents and our regional residents to solicit their feedback through an online survey. We sent out surveys at the end of the school year to the kids, so got into their backpacks and at home, and we solicited to our community and our area to get that feedback. Through that, we incorporated that data into our design, and I believe you guys have a handout in front of you. Just want to highlight a few of the high points of the aquatic center. Zero entry pool would facilitate for young children and elderly people to get in and out of the pool. It's two bodies of water. We have a lazy river that was identified not only for entertainment purposes, but also for aerobics, conditioning, lap swimming against the current. We have a rock climbing wall, a couple water slides, bathhouse, restrooms, concession area, and other related aquatic amenities. Through that survey, we found overwhelming data that from the local and regional residents that participated, that they wanted to have an all-inclusive outdoor recreational water facility for all ages. The regional significance, the closest facility of this magnitude is in Hutchinson, which is over 150 miles away. Locally, we have a few pools, Pelican Rapids, Breck, WAP, Parker's Prairie, to note a few. They're just a traditional lap swim pool with maybe a slide or two. So again, just want to highlight in our region, like Detroit Lakes, Perm, Alexandria, there isn't currently an outdoor aquatic center of this magnitude. Some on the committee may think, you know, we live in Lakes Country and it's easy access to get to the lakes. And we also heard from the respondents that not everybody has access to a lake cabin or a lake to go swimming. And this would be a safe place where families could have their kids swim in. And again, it would be for all ages. Just to cap off a highlight, the City Council set a goal for the Aquatics Committee to fundraise locally $1.5 million up to for this project. So I wanted to note that, there is an expectation that the City Council has set for that. And then, Madam Chair, to conclude, I want to thank you for your time, the committee, for hearing us this afternoon.
Thank you, Councilmember Arneson. Councilmember Roofer.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair and members. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to address you today. My name is Tom Roofer, R-U-F-E-R, and I'm a member of the Fergus Falls City Council. We're asking you for your support in improving De Lagoon Park in Fergus Falls, which is located on the north shore of Pebble Lake on the edge of the city. The project consists of expanding our campground area and adding updated infrastructure, restrooms, and services. Also, we will be building new structures for restrooms and concessions, one of which will also serve our soccer fields with restrooms and concessions. This building would also be used by the local BMX club that has recently leased land from the city and constructed a new track by the lake. The project will also improve and expand the lighting throughout the park that would allow more sporting events to continue later into the evening. This project is going to benefit both our community and the region as a whole by bringing visitors to Fergus Falls, which will contribute to our tax base and get people spending their dollars at our local merchants. Our local baseball, softball, and soccer teams are very active and very passionate and are all looking forward to the opportunity to host more and larger tournaments. For example, our Youth Soccer Association has been told by their counterparts in cities such as Moorhead, Detroit Lakes, and Alexandria that this facility would be a great location for tournaments as it's centrally located. The renovated and expanded campground and its proximity to the Central Lakes Trail will also draw visitors and help to increase our prominence statewide as a recreation destination while providing convenient camping for the users of the facility. Once people come to town for a tournament or a camp out or both, De Lagoon Park will stick in their minds as a place to which they will want to return. The residents of Fergus Falls and I are asking for your support of our projects, and we sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Ruffer. Members, do we have any questions for either council members or Representative Rasmussen? Seeing none, I have a quick question. Representative Rasmussen, how long is this sales tax for?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This sales tax would be collected if both projects are approved for 13 years. We would be maintaining Fergus Falls' current one half of a percent sales tax. And I would say the only thing I would add is The city of Fergus Falls always takes a very conservative approach, and on previous projects has surpassed their estimates. But in the two proposals before you today, if they were both approved by the voters in 2022, it would be 13 years to pay them both back.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. So this would bring the sales tax up to a cent?
No, this would actually leave it at the current one half percent sales tax.
Got it. Thank you. Members, any other questions? Thank you. Representative Rasmussen, final word then.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate your attention to these local option sales tax proposals today, and I appreciate Councilmember Arneson and Councilmember Roofer for joining and sharing the community's excitement to move forward with these proposals. I just really appreciate the thoughtful approach that the community has taken, a grassroots approach to solicit input and align the community on these two projects. And so appreciate the hearing and would ask for your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. With that, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 1304 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. So the bill is laid over. Members, thank you for your work today. Tomorrow we'll be meeting again at 1 p.m. during the Tax Committee time slot, courtesy of Chair Marquardt, to continue our journey across the state in the wonderful world of local option sales tax. So until then, we are adjourned.